Hello, everybody. I'm Radio Johnny along with Denise Miller, and you are listening to Recovery Radio on KRFP 90.3 FM in Moscow, Idaho, and Pullman, Washington. Recovery Radio is an outreach of the Latah and Whitman Recovery Community Centers. You can find them on the web at latahrecoverycenter.org and on Facebook. The Latah Recovery Community Center is located at 531 South Main Street in Moscow. You can contact the LRCC by phone at 208-883-1045 or by email at latahrecoverycenter@gmail.com. Their hours are 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday, and there are specialty meetings on the weekends. The Whitman Recovery Community Center is located at 226 East Main Street in Pullman, and you can contact the WRCC by phone at 509-715-1111 or by email at wrccprogrammanager@gmail.com. And their hours are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, and I believe they do have some specialty meetings on the weekends. You can go to our website and check that out. And Recovery Radio's purpose is to share with our community how addiction and behavioral health disorders affect us all and how we deal with them. We also share the personal stories of people in and around recovery, highlighting their experience, insight, and hope for continued recovery. And today, the calendar, I encourage you to jump online. I'm not sure if the September calendar is up yet, because today is the 28th. But if it isn't, it should be soon. And a couple of things that I do want to bring up is, of course, our 10th anniversary recovery festival is coming up very soon, September 13th. And that will happen from 11 to 3 at East City Park here in Moscow. From 11 a.m. till noon, you can check out the resource and information tables hosted by our local nonprofits. So connect, explore, and enjoy. From noon to 1, lunch and live music. Enjoy a delicious lunch featuring fried chicken, salads, and anniversary cake. And that's all free. And live music by Solid Ghost, a great local band. 1 to 2, we're going to be giving away some raffle prizes, and everyone's going to get some free tickets, and prizes are donated by local businesses in support of the Latah Recovery Center. And Recovery Out Loud at 2 o'clock, and you can hear powerful recovery stories from members of our community. It's a heartfelt time of sharing and inspiration. And all this is hosted by Latah Recovery Community, the Whitman Recovery Community, and Vandal Recovery. And today, we don't have a guest in the studio, just our fabulous selves, as my ego leaks out there a little bit. But we're going to be talking about stress and anger management. We all experience stress in some form or another, and back when I was working, I spoke with one of the people from HR, did a thing on stress and how to deal with it, and I think they made a really good description of it by explaining that stress is like a bucket, and little drips and drabs of stress go in all the time. And it's not the little stresses that make the bucket tip over, it's the conglomeration of all the stress dripping in there, and then it can spill over, and that's when we have, you know, stress-related issues, you know, everything from physical things, panic attacks, you name it, it can mimic all sorts of actual dis-ease, it can erupt in anger, all sorts of stuff. So I found this description on the web and some ways of dealing with it, some of I was aware of and others that are sound like really good ideas to me.
I gotta throw in on your bucket.
Sure.
Your bucket drip drip of stress. I think that must be why am I crying when I need to, because of my emotions, helps calm that bucket down because I'm letting some of it out maybe.
Yes.
I'm just
absolutely
saying.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, there's all sorts of ways to dump stress. Yeah.
There is.
So, yeah, crying is definitely one of them.
Yep.
One of the least harmful, I think. ways of trying to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. But this article says stress and anger are closely linked, and managing them effectively can improve overall well-being. Strategies like deep breathing, mindfulness, exercise, and identifying triggers can help reduce both stress and anger. Additionally, seeking support from friends, family, or professionals, or your higher power, I would add, can provide valuable tools and strategies for long-term management. And they talk about some of the immediate strategies. This is what you can do when you feel that stress boiling up. Mm-hmm. And the first one they talk about is deep breathing. Slow, deep breaths can help calm the body and mind, reducing the intensity of anger and stress. And I've used this a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, just step back, take a couple deep breaths, because there's times where you can't just walk away from it.
Right. Well, and I think it's fair to say that during stress and anger, we're not breathing in the way that we should be to oxygenating our body. And, you know, we're tend to tight up muscles and stuff like that. And so I could see where it could be very helpful to take some intentional breathing.
Right, right. I like the way you put that, intentional breathing.
Intentional, yeah.
It's actually thinking about, am I breathing from the belly? Mm-hmm. Am I getting my lungs full and getting my, like you said, blood oxygenated? Because that also helps for clearing thinking.
Yeah.
The more O2 you have going to your brain, you know, the better off you're going to feel.
Super necessary, yeah.
And, you know, if you're in a meeting and your boss is hammering on you about some project that's running behind or whatever, it's not like you can just get up and leave. And it's not a good idea to lurch back out at them. That might not end well for you.
Yep.
So, yeah, deep breathing, intentional breathing. I like the way that sounds. Stepping away, okay? If possible, remove yourself from the situation causing anger or stress to gain perspective and cool down. And this has been my go-to, really, for years. It's not unacceptable just to tell someone if you're in a situation where they are causing you a lot of stress, and you're feeling like you're getting angry, just to say, you know what, I need to step away from this for a minute.
Yeah.
We can come back and talk about it in a little while, but for right now, I need to, like it says, gain some perspective on this.
Yeah.
So I'll get back together with you later.
Right.
And then turn and walk.
Yeah, and it can even be that there's so many things on your plate that you're not even able to take on something normal next, which can be an indication that you're so stressed. It could, and I like what you shared with the, like, you know, if they're maybe loading on too much or not treating you well. But even if it's like something somewhat normal and somebody's asking you for something, whether it's to listen or listen, you know, just be emotionally available or to be helpful available or whatever it is. And at that moment, it just feels like everything is just so full and you just can't take on one more thing, or you're going to implode, or just, you just can't, like, you just physically can't take on one more thing. It is okay to just say, hey, I've just got a lot going on. I'm going to need to circle back around with you later. I want to hear what you have to say, but I just can't right now. Like you were saying. Yeah.
Right. It's important to be honest with yourself. A couple of weeks ago, when we talked about braving, one of the things was, you know, knowing your capacity and what that looks like, and what does full look like? What does my life is totally full look like?
Right. Yeah, and being self-aware.
I'm just not able to go into this particular subject or comment on a project, or even in interpersonal, you know, family relations. Well, I don't have an answer for that this minute, but give me some time to work out these other things, and then we'll address that. Mm-hmm. You don't want to leave people just like, that's it, later, I'm out, and turn around and walk away.
Right.
At least, you know, you can be polite enough to explain why you need the break. Mm-hmm.
Another thing in this area, I feel like it kind of applies, is when you need some time to think about something. Sometimes people will ask me something and I'll be like, you know, let me think on that and I'm going to get back to you. You know, that could kind of be a stepping away, just to give that some space. You know, there's just certain things that I need time to think about them. Yeah.
Right, exactly. I don't always have the answer right away.
Right.
In a work environment, some things can take some research, which could take time. I mean, typically does take time.
Yeah, we don't have to answer things right away.
Yeah, and in a home environment or interpersonal with family, just sometimes you just can't think of anything. It's like, we can't go on vacation to Disneyland. Why is that? Do we not have enough money? Do we not have the time? Do we, you know, there's a whole bunch of things that you could just blurt out that might not be true or accurate. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in a case like that, it's better to step back and say, let me think on this for a minute, and we'll talk about it some more.
It can also make the person who's asking the question feel more seen, that you're willing to take some time and consider.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that's important too.
It is.
Use humor. Finding the lighter side of a situation can help diffuse tension and reduce stress. That's a great idea. It doesn't always work. You know, if your spouse is screaming at you and you say, you know, you look exactly like a crazed wolf when you're doing that.
Oh.
Might sound funny to you, might not be funny to your spouse.
Yeah, I don't advise that. don't do that.
Yeah. No, that would not be good.
When you said use humor, this is what my thought was. So there's times I've been at work, and whether it's things building up through the day or through the week, or if it's just like a combination of hard things going on with like family members or something like that, I will look up some of my favorite comedians and listen to a couple, chuckle a bit, and then go back to it. Yeah, it really can. Some comic relief is really good for your body and stuff.
Right.
So, yeah, it makes me very happy.
I have a fairly wry sense of humor, and I've worked with some people that were pretty quick-witted.
Mm-hmm.
And we would occasionally go back and forth, and I'm trying to think of a particular scenario. Oh, I recall one of our fellows went to crush down some material in a can in a big 55-gallon drum to make more space. And what he hadn't realized is somebody had dumped a half-full bottle of ink in there. And when it came down and pressurized, the thing of ink just exploded. And he was he was upset. He was mad. And everybody was just kind of laughing. And I just said, well, if we need some ink, we know where to find you now.
Did it explode out at people or just inside? Just
pretty much just him.
Oh.
So
there you go.
So it was
that would be a very long shower.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a lot of scrubbing.
With chemicals to get the ink off. So
yeah.
So it was not fun for
him. No, thank you.
But you know, he managed to realize that there was kind of some humor in it as he was painted with this ink all over.
Darn.
But yeah, finding the lighter side of the situation, it's like, well, at least we're not dead. If this is the worst thing that happens today, I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah, that's why here on Fridays we have a dad joke on the board outside. You know, it's end of the week. I try to do like Mental Health Monday when I'm doing the board outside.
Mm-hmm.
And then like dad joke Friday, which I need to tell the new gal. We're really excited to have a new front desk gal who just started this week, so it's nice.
Oh, fantastic.
It's gonna be great to have some help with that.
What's her name?
Her name is Amanda. Yeah, and also I've just barely met the two new interns that are gonna be working at Vandal Recovery, doing leading some classes and different things like that. And I'll get to talk with them more this week or next. So they're getting onboarded as well this week. So lots of new exciting things happening. Dina is our new Vandal Recovery gal, and she has been getting herself kind of acclimated to over there over this last month, I feel like. And then the interns are getting on board and stuff like that as the school year starts. So there will be probably a pretty cool calendar that will be being put out here at some point that we'll talk about for Vandal Recovery.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then we will probably also have them come and do a little talk on Recovery Radio.
So we should.
And get to know them.
Yes, because actually I've heard that the front desk gal has some schooling in the subject that we're in, like an actual
recovery
Addictions counseling or something. She's going to school for or something. So I don't want to give out false information, but it's something like that. So I'll find out more tomorrow.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
We love having people that know all the things and have experience in education. That's always really great.
Cool. Oh, and, you know, don't expect that next week because just a heads up to everybody, I am going on a well-deserved vacation for a week.
For turning old.
And I will be back. And so I'm not sure if we'll have one of our best of shows next week.
Yes.
And possibly the following week. We'll just have to see what happens. But
cool. That sounds good. We'll play it by ear.
We'll play it by ear.
Yes.
Exactly.
Johnny's celebrating turning another century older.
That's right. Seventh century.
Mm-hmm. Decade. I'm sorry. You're not 700. You're 70. My bad. I always mess that up when I was in school, too. I just always would throw.
Centuries,
yes, I would always throw that. Yeah. That's funny. That's it still fine. Came out. That's if how comfortable it, I am right now.
If it means anything to you, I feel centuries old.
Okay. That's fair.
That doesn't always happen.
People are going to start researching you if they hear that you're 700 years old. You're looking really good for 700 years old. But
Medusa.
Yep.
The Medusa thing. Yep. Oh, my.
So there's some humor.
There is, exactly.
We just made funnies. At Johnny's expense.
About my stress. Yeah, having turned 70 a week ago. Oh, my. Okay, let's moving on. Practice relaxation techniques.
Yes, I like
progressive muscle relaxation, meditation, or visualization can help lower overall physical arousal and manage anger. And progressive muscle relaxation. I've done this actually when my brain's all spun up and I can't go to sleep.
Yeah.
And that's usually because I'm stressing out about something or another that's either coming up today or tomorrow or whatever.
Right.
And so what I do is I start at my toes and I basically clench my toes as tight as I can.
Yep.
And then I relax them. And then I clench my feet as much as I relax them. And then my calves and relax them and my thighs and basically just work my way up my body until I'm like frowning and closing my eyes as hard as I can and relaxing them.
Yep.
And it's really amazing.
He's doing it in the radio studio. That's why I'm laughing.
Yeah. Yeah. Making funny faces.
He's making funny faces.
So, what I found is you don't realize how tense your body can be until you like really stress, pull it up tight, and then let go. You can feel totally relaxed. I feel fairly relaxed right now. But I'm sure if I did that, I would find out that my shoulders are tense, you know, maybe my back is tense, and that intentionally stressing and letting go will actually open your eyes up to it. You can even do that like those little stress balls that people have, just gripping onto one hard and letting go, that's will relieve some of that tension too. And meditation is great. It's hard to do, even though it's a short-term thing, it's hard to do while stress is being activated or if you're exceptionally angry. But if you use it in conjunction with stepping away and doing the deep breathing, it can help you lower that physical part of you that's wound up tight.
I like to use like five minute mindfulness meditations on YouTube, and I also do those with some peers and for our Invitation to Change group of families of loved ones who struggle with substance use or mental health. And we do that to start off our meetings to kind of just like pause and just kind of decompress and, come back to like setting that stuff down, relaxing, and then coming back to what we're doing. And I find on busy times, like real busy, I might make some time to do one of those before I go on with my day. I try not to pack things too tight because, you want to have a little space in your day so that it's not too crazy. Right. Margin. That's what my best friend calls it, making sure that there's margin in your day.
Right.
Like my chiropractor makes it to where he has a break in the afternoon so that if any of his appointments were running late, he's back on track for the afternoon people.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right, right. And I've done that in my professional career too.
Yeah.
I'll schedule a half an hour meeting knowing it will minimum go 45 right. minutes, quite probably go an hour. And even build a buffer around that. And I've had my boss come to me, you know, looking at my schedule and going, why are you scheduling this meeting for an hour and a half?
Mm-hmm.
And, I have to tell him, well, that's my personal schedule. As far as anybody else knows, right. it's a half hour meeting.
Right, exactly.
But
yeah.
I'm building in buffer. I right. call it a buffer.
And there, and it's really good to have that so that then you can get back on track and you're not running late all day long. I think it's smart.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Yeah, because then you're back in the, you know, not being able to deliver on what you promised. I
right.
get that.
Yeah.
And the next thing we're going to jump into is long-term strategies. But I think why don't we take a break,
yeah.
listen
Thanks.
To some music for a minute, and we'll come back and hit the long-term strategies. So you're listening to Recovery Radio on KRFP 90.3 FM, Moscow Pullman. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Hey everybody, we are back, and I'm Radio Johnny, and she's Denise, and you're listening to KRFP 90.3 FM in Moscow Pullman and Recovery Radio. And we're talking about dealing or strategies to deal with stress and anger, and we went through some immediate strategies like deep breathing, stepping away, using humor, practicing relaxation techniques, and now we're going to talk a little more about long-term strategies. And the first one they have here is identify triggers, and that's always a good one. Understanding what situation, thoughts, or feelings trigger anger and stress can help you develop coping mechanisms. So yeah, if you can, if you know that every time your boss says, "Come into my office," you know it's going to be stressful, and that might be a good thing to be aware of and to practice your deep breathing. You know, something you can do quick and easy, and before you head into that stressful situation, talk to your boss. Or, if your spouse or partner says, "We need to talk about this," that can be pretty stressful. And again, some quick deep breathing.
I like to say about things like that, I like to say, "Hey, is this a good time to talk to you? Or is there a time when it's good, I need to talk or we need to talk." It's like,
that can be a bad place to be. But
when my boss does that, he's like, "Oh, hey, come talk to me," or "We need to talk," he'll like let me know, "Hey, it's okay, you're not in trouble. I just want to tell you about something." I'm like, "Okay, cool." I mean, I didn't think I was in trouble, but like it can be a little scary.
Yes, it causes a little apprehension. But if you're thinking about that before time, how do I react when somebody says something like that, you can say, well, I can keep an open mind, because like you say, it's not necessarily all bad. You're not necessarily going to get hammered by a boss, and you might want to think about changing jobs if that's a regular thing. If your thought is the world's always going to cave in on you, you need to do some work around having those thoughts, maybe getting rid of those thoughts. And feelings, if somebody says something terse to you and it upsets you, or insulting, or whatever you conceive of a an uncomfortable way of somebody talking to you, being prepared for that, and I usually find that those sort of things come from similar people, or the same people on a semi-regular basis, but if you prepare a little bit ahead of time to deal with that, it can make it easier when it happens, so you're not necessarily counted flat, or caught flat-footed.
Right.
A person who is always behaving that way towards you you can prepare for that. And maybe when they come out and say something rude to you like that, it's easy enough to say, hey, you know, that's really rude and uncalled for, and appreciate it if you didn't approach me like that anymore. That's hard to think of in the moment, but, you know, we're talking about preparation.
Right, and that's why I like thinking about those things ahead of time. Yeah, when you're not caught in an emotional situation where sometimes we don't think as well, we're not as quick to come up with something rational. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Another, the next thing they talk about is regular exercise, which mm-hmm. makes sense. Physical yeah. activities such as walking, swimming, or running can reduce stress and improve your mood. Well, we know that, you know, exercise, on top of just being generally good for you, you know, getting your heart rate up and good for your cardiovascular, it also tends to release a lot of dopamine, mm-hmm. which is that feel-good mm-hmm. combination right. that, you know, is overproduced by substances. Mm-hmm. And alcohol, like in my case, if I wanted to relax, you know, having a couple of drinks, you know, and normal healthy people can do that. Mm-hmm. They get home from a stressful day. Probably not a good idea to do before you go to work.
Oh, yeah, no, that could be very problematic. Most places don't want you drinking before you go to work.
Yeah, that's right. You know, hitting the gym before work, I know a lot of people do that, and mm-hmm. you know, again, you get that oxygen flowing, you're feeling better, you're just able to take on more stressful things. And, you know, anger is not the first thing that's going to come out of you because you don't have a bunch of built-up tension in your body exactly. to begin with.
Yeah. It even some simple things like, you know, walking can be good, but also just, and this is good for multiple reasons, but there's something about jumping up and down. It can get your heart rate going, but there's also something about and I do it lightly because, you know, I'm 51 mm-hmm. years old, so I'm not like, you know, but that even something quick like that can kind of get your energy up, get your heart rate going up. It can be good for you. And there's something about the impact helps produce certain kinds of things that keep your body going good.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Go figure, right? So there can be just some quick things that you can do in the morning if you don't have a gym to go to, which, I mean, I highly recommend a gym if you can keep going and you can afford that.
Right, yeah. And
or you can do a home gym.
Yeah, the home gym, the treadmill, or in our house, as we call it, the motorized buffet for running food back and forth on the table. No, and there's something to be said about, you know, you said jumping up and down. Have you ever noticed that when people are celebrating or really happy, what do they do? They jump up and down.
Yep.
And
they're excited.
Yes, yeah. It intensifies that feeling. Yeah. So that's one good way of dealing with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And let's see, the next thing they talk about, mindfulness and meditation. Practicing mindfulness can help you become more aware of your thoughts and feelings without judgment, allowing you to respond more effectively to stressful situations. And I think we touched on this. You spoke about doing 5-minute mindfulness things. Tell me a little bit about
that. So if you go onto YouTube, there's mindfulness meditations. I pick which ones I like the sound of the voice, whether it's a female voice or a male voice. And I listen to how they go about it and see if that's something I think will be relaxing. So there are many different kinds. And mindfulness typically falls under like DBT, dialectal. I'm going to forget what DBT stands for, but, it's a part of that, you know, calming down and reconnecting with yourself. Like, it will tell you to get into a relaxed, position, whether you're in a chair or you're laying down, and we'll talk about, like, you know, closing your eyes and go, and, you know, you're breathing and, you know, in and out those deep breaths. But also talk about, like, you know, feel the contacts of where your skin is touching the chair or your feet is touching the floor. And it just kind of helps connect you to your awareness of your body. And then it goes through those kinds of things. And then it also has your awareness expand to the room around you and the objects around you in your mind, you know? And then she like slowly says, you know, like move your feet around a little bit, roll your shoulders, move your fingers as she's having you kind of wake back up during that 5 minutes at the end. And she says, you know, like nice job. And the one I listen to has a nice voice. And it's just very, it's kind of comforting, soothing to just kind of reconnect with my body and just calm myself down and breathe, get some oxygen. If I do for too long a ones, I might want to take a nap afterwards. So typically I do a 5 minute one. And sometimes if I need to just take a little break in my office after that and just kind of keep my eyes closed and just relax for a few more minutes and clear out my thoughts and, you know, talk kindly to myself and positively, I do that too.
Yeah. I call it when the squirrel is on the wheel in my head. Sometimes it's because of stress, rarely because of anger, but it's always because there's something, you know, unresolved in my mind. And it turns out that there are times where it doesn't need to be resolved right now.
Right.
And that's where the mindfulness and the meditation helps me let that stuff go.
Right.
It's like, okay, I can put this aside for now. It doesn't right. need to be answered this second.
Right.
And you know, likewise, you know, when I'm doing something around the house, I tend to get distracted. I'll be straightening up a workbench or something and go, oh, I really need to make a modification to this tool. But that's not what I'm doing right now.
Right.
I need to finish cleaning up the workbench. Because otherwise I'll wander down all these different rabbit holes. And the same thing happens in my mind. You know,
right.
I'll be thinking about, well, I need to, I'm going to get up early tomorrow morning and I'm going to mow the lawn. But, oh, wait a minute, is the blade on the mower sharp? Maybe I better do that. And then while I'm doing that, I do need to change the oil in it sometime soon, too. And suddenly, mm-hmm. mowing the lawn is
right. Do you ever make a list for those things?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's good, too, and prioritizing that
yeah.
stuff. And that's what it is. You know, when I meditate, I have to prioritize mm-hmm. what I want to meditate on.
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to meditate on mowing the lawn, or is it better just to meditate on,
good point.
You know, being relaxed, you know, being quiet, you know, just letting, like you said, you know, you let your body and your mind kind of get together mm-hmm. and be in a quiet place. So that can work.
Yeah, it's nice.
Next one, they say seek support. Talking to a trusted friend, family member, or therapist can help provide valuable insights and support for managing anger and stress. I can't say enough about this, you know. In AA, you know, we are, as individuals, at least I feel I am accountable to the group. But then the group has also, you know, given me permission to go, you know, this is driving me crazy, you know. It's stressing me out. It's making me angry. And I just don't know how to deal. I'm not dealing with it well, and I need some help.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes this falls on one sponsor, or it can just be someone, you know, in the group that you know and have trust in. And they, if they have experience with it, maybe they can help you out. Maybe they can share what they did. I've had men approach me and say, you know, this is just pissing me off, and I don't know what to do about it. And I've been like, neither do I, but tell you what, let me call my sponsor and see if he's had experience with it. And I've had situations where we've had to go like three sponsors back to some really old dude, you know, who has lots of experience and has said, oh, well, you know, this is what happened to me and this is what I did. And you know, you get some sort of answer.
Right.
But, you know, you got to have those people around mm-hmm. you too, which
right.
is tough.
And it can be, you know, like you're saying, friends. It can be mm-hmm. family members, therapists, you know. Yeah, it can also be coming to the LRC and talking to Sean or Denise, who's a coach or a volunteer here or something. You know, a lot of people talk about how getting a counselor or a therapist can take some time in our area, and that's true. You know, it can sometimes be quicker if you're willing to, if it's helpful for you enough to talk with somebody online. That can be something that happens a little faster if you're okay with like Zoom meetings and stuff. But all of our services here at the Recovery Center are free. They say it at also at cost, but there really hasn't been anything I've come across in the 2 years I've been here that's cost money. Usually we pay for everything. And we can be, you know, we're not counselors, but we can be helpful during that process of waiting for a counselor to process things. Because it reminds me of how important, you know, when you talk about seeking help, the verbal processing process, being able to say something out loud is the definite start for me to being able to work out a solution or a direction or a goal or just me figuring it out all on my own just by talking it out loud. There's just something supernatural in the talking it out loud and having someone listening that sometimes can just organize your thoughts to be able to find what path you want to go on with it.
Yeah, in our fourth step in AA, when we're working out our resentments, which quite often involve anger and fear, we move on from that fourth step and go into a fifth step where we share that with somebody. You know, we say we share it with ourselves, our higher power, and another human being. But it's basically the same thing. We're getting it out, and sometimes hearing it will make all the difference in the world, just saying it out loud. And I practice that on my own when I'll be working on something and I'll be like, why is this not working? Why does this little doodad not fit into that doohickey?
Right.
And I'll look at it and I'll realize, oh, because I'm holding it backwards or, you know, something like that. But just saying it out loud, you know, makes it real and helps to clarify it.
Yeah.
The next one. This is interesting. Assertiveness training. Learning to express your needs and feelings assertively can help you communicate effectively and avoid unnecessary conflict. Mm-hmm. And this is a good one because, you know, the difference between being assertive and being passive would be like saying, you know, I really need to finish this project before I address your needs. Your needs are important, but this project is, you know, under obligation and time limit, so I really need to finish this first. Rather than saying, oh, yeah, well, I can get to it. I'm not sure when. And there's a bunch of other things going on. Right. And I don't know what the priority should be. And because that just sounds like, A, you don't want to do it, and you don't have a real reason for not wanting to do it. And so it's going to leave people angry. You know, why can't you give me an answer?
It's like a miscommunication feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. And if somebody comes to you and says, this has to be done right now, which used to happen to me a lot at work, and I would have to say, well, if this has to get done right now, what do I tell the three people that I've already prioritized in front of you who also need this to be done right now? What should I tell them? You know, that's being assertive.
Right. And like, can you go tell them, the three people, that while I work on this, because, you know, I don't have time to do that either.
Yeah, that would be real assertive.
Well, I mean, you know, I feel like it would be kind of fair.
right. But learning how to do that, you know, how to be aggressive without being overly aggressive, I think, is what they're saying here. Because you could also say, up yours, I'm not doing this now. That's a little over the top.
That will cause conflict.
Right. And it does say assertiveness training. So you can learn how to do that in an appropriate way, depending on the, you know, situation or the scenario.
I mean, these days you can look up anything you want on YouTube or Google you can learn how to do anything you want to do, I feel like, so.
Pretty much. I built my own airplane off of Google. It won't fly, but that probably has more to do with me than what Google was telling me.
We keep coming back to that using humor.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, and the last one, last but not least, healthy lifestyle. Ensuring adequate sleep, a balanced diet, and managing stress through hobbies and creative activities can contribute to overall well-being. Yeah. And boy, that's a the first one.
Yeah,
ensuring adequate sleep.
I'm a big fan of that one.
Right. I kind of have a sleep schedule that I like to keep. That works out pretty well for me because I probably from years of working a second shift, I don't really get like mentally tired or sleepy until like 11 or midnight. It's just the way my body works. And if I go to bed before that, I will wake up 6 hours later and still feel tired all day. So once you get a pattern going,
right?
And I know another big thing is, and deal with this a lot in recovery, is a lot of people, when they're fresh into a recovery from substances, have a real hard time getting a sleep schedule reestablished.
It can take a little bit, yeah, because we were so, it could have been a regular sleep, or it could have been, you know, like staying up for days, or it's right. Hard to say, you know.
Right,
sleeping
exactly.
In real late, you know, it just depends
well,
on
well, just the chemical balance of your brain changing can keep you going.
Yeah, so. I love my sleep schedule. It's great.
Yeah. And a balanced diet, eating good food, making sure you're getting your vitamins and minerals out of your food or a supplement or something like that.
Keep some vegetables and fruit in your diet as well.
And that will help manage stress as well. In AA, we talk about the HALTs.
Yes, big
hungry,
thing.
Angry, lonely, and tired.
Yeah.
And all those things are, you know, can be a danger sign.
Yeah, they can equal a very grumpy person. Yeah.
Right. Well, and also, you know, can lead to relapse. So, you know, if you're eating well, you're sleeping well, you're staying engaged with other people, you can handle a little bit of tired.
Right.
But, you know, best to, you know, establish a schedule and stay with it, for heaven's sake.
And if you are having trouble sleeping, again, get on the internet or something like that. You can look up some different ideas and decide what you think might work for you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And worst comes to worst, see your doctor.
Yes,
and see
please.
If there's a medication that you can get that help you. That's what happened to me. A doctor gave me some sleep medication for a few days, and that's all it took.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after I went through withdrawals and stuff to, you know, get me on the schedule without getting me hooked on something else.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and always be honest with your doctors.
Yes. Yeah. Check back with
even
them.
If it sounds silly what you're saying, you know, do that.
Yeah.
And that's the end of our list.
There we go.
And that's, we're at the end of our show too.
Yeah. There we go.
So Denise, thank you, and to our listener out there in the radio land, thank you, and podcast world, because we do go out as podcasts as well. And remember about the Recovery Festival coming up,
just
a couple weeks out.
Yes.
So
Saturday, September 13th.
Yeah, 11 o'clock, East City Park.
Yep.
You don't have to be in recovery to attend.
You don't.
Come and listen to the stories. You'll find out lots of interesting stuff, and it's family friendly.
Yeah, bring a lawn chair, camp chair, bring your kids, whatever.
Yeah, a blanket to throw on the lawn. There's playgrounds there to keep the kiddos happy, and lots of people and good food and good music. So come on down and
we'll
that.
See you there. I'll be the person on stage emceeing because Johnny's not able to do it this year. So
that's right.
There we go.
Time to pass the torch to a way more qualified
individual. I don't know about that, but I'm happy to do it.
We'll find out.
Right?
We'll find out.
We'll find out.
I'll be there to give you moral support.
That's where my Toastmasters public speaking comes in, you know? See?
Yep.
getting to practice all over the place.
That's right.
All right. Everybody have a good rest of your day.
You please do that too. And I'll close with the regular. You know, if you think you have a problem with substances or behavioral health, you do.